Good morning. I'm Mike Greenberg in New York. And as always, we thank you so much for getting up with us. And you know that at ESPN, our job is to bring you the sports news of the day. And on this show, we always try to do that with a smile. And I promise that is exactly what we are going to do this morning, as always. But if you are just getting up and starting your day, let us first catch you up on the stunning events of the past 18 hours. Here is the very latest. Early this morning, Congress certified the victory of Joe Biden to be president of the United States, and President Trump promised an orderly transition of power on January 20th. But as you are by now well aware, yesterday's protests in Washington, D.C. were anything but orderly. Dozens of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building, interrupting the certification vote. The scene at the Capitol led to four deaths, a woman who was shot inside the Capitol and three others who died outside from medical emergencies. There were over 50 arrests and widespread destruction. In response, last night in Phoenix, the Suns and the Raptors locked arms in a circle of unity. In Miami, most players on the Celtics and the Heat took a knee during the national anthem. Both teams issued a joint statement saying they decided to play to, quote, try to bring joy into people's lives. In San Francisco, the Warriors warmed up in shirts that read Black Lives Matter and took a knee with the Clippers during the national anthem.
Thousands of white people can storm the Capitol and not face any sort of obstruction from police. But heaven forbid a 12-year-old black boy carry a toy gun in a park, or a 15-year-old black boy walk home from a store with a bag of Skittles.
Everybody knows what's going on in the world, man, and you can't hide from that. We see the two different USAs that we live in. It's sad. It truly is. It's sad.
Nothing's changed. I think, through social media and all of these, different things that we have at our fingertips today, you're more aware of things, but nothing's changed. This is the same America that it's been. It's no different.
Could you imagine today those were all black people storming the Capitol? And what would have happened, so that to me is a picture that's worth a thousand words for all of us to see, and probably something for us to reckon with again.
So that was just a little bit of the reaction as far as the direct impact as a result of the curfew in Washington, D.C. George Washington postponed last night's men's basketball game with UMass. The National Football League spokesman Brian McCarthy said there's been no change to the status of Saturday's wildcard game between the Buccaneers and the Washington football team, which will be played in Landover, Maryland. And there is, of course, continuous and outstanding coverage of these events on Good Morning America Today and so many other places on your television. And it has been my belief for more than 20 years now in this space that if you come to me on these mornings on ESPN, it is because you are looking for that very particular escape that sometimes only sports can bring. And so that is what we will do today, and hopefully we will help you smile along the way. So let us begin our sports coverage with the National Football League and some good news for the Cleveland Browns yesterday. The latest round of COVID-19 testing produced no new positive results. Here's what their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, had to say yesterday. Take a listen.
They understand that we have a job to do, and they're excited to do that. So they know that this thing's not stopping for me or anybody. So they're full speed ahead. It's the next person up. So it doesn't change regardless of who's on the sideline.
Adam Schefter is with us this morning and, as always, working hard before the sun even comes up. Good morning, Shefty. What is the latest you can tell us out of Cleveland?
Well, that was a positive step. Assuming there are no more positive tests in Cleveland, the game will go on as scheduled on Sunday night. And there were no positives, as you mentioned yesterday. Now, Kevin Stefanski is out for the game, as are a number of players. And just think about this. The Cleveland Browns are playing their biggest game in 18 years, their first playoff game since 2002. And in that game, remarkably enough, they will be without their head coach. They will be without a couple of assistant coaches. They will be without a handful of players. And they have struggled to contain this virus that goes back to when they played your New York Jets and they lost their entire wide receiver crew before that game, in a game they could not find a way to win. And now you feel bad for a team like this. Number one, you hope that everybody involved is physically okay. But beyond that, This is something that this team, this organization, these individuals have worked for all year throughout their careers. Their longest tenured player is Joel Bitonio. A playoff appearance cannot mean any more than it would to him. And he can't play in the game because he's tested positive and is on the list.
Yeah, and I always think of the fans. The fans in that city have waited 18 years for this, and now this is the way their team goes in. But they obviously will not give up. I saw something yesterday, Shefty, I thought was interesting. Your friend and mine, Chris Mortensen, was tweeting about it. The idea that Kevin Stefanski cannot have any communication with the team during the game and all of that. The National Football League, those are rules that are in place for entirely other reasons, but there will be no adjustment in that, right? Stefanski will have no bearing on the game Sunday night.
No, he can take part in all the meetings. He can help prep the team. But once the game begins, Kevin Stefanski will have as much involvement in that game as you or I, Greeny. He will be watching his team, the team that he coached, helplessly, presumably in his house in Cleveland. And it just seems so strange and surreal and befitting of the year that everybody's experienced. But no, he is not allowed to take part. Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, will call the plays for the Cleveland Browns. And that is a loss because Kevin Stefanski, one of his great strengths is his ability to attack a defense, to call a game, to establish the run game the way the Browns have. And they will not have that. And they will have to get used to the adjustment of changing play callers to Alex Van Pelt.
No, no question. And the chemistry that he has with Baker Mayfield, we talked about that at length here yesterday. Now, the team that they play is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger is one of six quarterbacks this postseason that has previously won the Super Bowl. This is the second time there have been that many previous winners in a single postseason. You will notice Brady, Rodgers, Big Ben were there both of the years that it happened. Here was Ben with some thoughts yesterday.
I think every player should approach this playoff game like it could be their last playoff game ever. I know I am, because nothing's guaranteed in this game or this world. All the old guys, I know you didn't want to use those words, but I'll say it for you. It's cool. I mean, it's fun to be a part of it with them. I'm hoping that it's not one and done. You know, we're going to give everything we have so that I can be the last old man standing, maybe.
And so we get up this morning with Dominic Foxworth and Damian Woody as well. Good morning, guys. And Anik, let me start with you. Let's talk about the pressure that's on Big Ben here. This is a team that does not run the football practically at all. 83% of their yards the last 5 weeks have come through the passing game. They're now playing a game in which they are heavily favored, based in part on Cleveland losing its coach and other things. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Roethlisberger here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that all the way. Like, I understand what you're saying. They're going to have to throw the ball and have an effective passing game because their rushing game is pretty much non-existent. But they don't really ask that much of Ben. When you think of Ben Roethlisberger in his prime, it's holding on to the ball for a long time, sometimes shaking off giant defensive ends so he can throw deep balls down the field to those seemingly revolving doors of outstanding receivers that they have there. That's not the Ben we have this year. He has as little time in the pocket as anyone. No one gets rid of the ball more quickly this season than Ben Roethlisberger. So I think there's pressure on him to make good decisions, but there's not that much pressure on him to be the Ben Roethlisberger of old that puts this team on its back, on his back on occasion when they need him to do so.
They rested him last week. Damian Woody, what do you expect from Roethlisberger Sunday night against a Browns defense that has struggled defending the pass?
Yeah, listen, I think Dominique hit it on the head. Nobody's gotten the ball out quicker than Big Ben of all the quarterbacks in the National Football League. And, you know, it's going to put a premium on the Cleveland Browns, particularly their back seven, to be able to make tackles. Because if there's one thing that we know about the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers, is they can really make yards after the catch. And so we know that the Cleveland Browns, Olivier Vernon is out for the year with the Achilles injury. So that's another huge blow against that Cleveland defense. So Myles Garrett and company, they're going to have to do their, you know, best job as possible to try to get to Big Ben. But again, Ben gets that ball out really, really quickly.
And you know, D. Wood, may I just say, and Cindy, can we take the one shot of him again? This, I believe, is the first time we're seeing this room in your clearly spectacular house, and I'm completely consumed by it. The piano is spectacular. The art. You just need to have us to your house for a tour at some point. I've seen now, I feel like, four different rooms in your house during this pandemic, and every one of them is more spectacular than the previous.
Yeah. Well, Green, I tell you what, man. When we get past this pandemic, man, maybe we have maybe we do the show. Get up from here, maybe.
I got some love it on location.
That's a date. We will be there for sure, and hopefully there won't be a delay. You could drive a truck through while we do that. And meantime, Chefy, let me come to you on this. Ben Roethlisberger has $41 million in his contract next year, yeah. So it did get me to thinking. Whenever this thing ends for them, let's just use Sunday night as a possibility. Could we be seeing the last games of Ben Roethlisberger in a Steeler uniform?
No, Greeny. He fully intends to come back and play next year. And again, Pittsburgh has always gone to him when it needed cap relief, and I would imagine that that would be the same situation again now. But I saw that caption there, Ben Roethlisberger under contract, under pressure. Look, I think he, at this stage of his career, has an understanding and an appreciation, as he talked about, that he doesn't know that he will ever get an opportunity like this ever again. Last year, he was knocked out for the year with an elbow injury. This year, the team struggled and limped towards the finish line. Next year, he will be another year older. He fully intends to play next year. That is his plan. But who's to say that his performance at his age isn't going to drop off? We've already seen the quarterbacks from his draft class. Eli Manning's retired. There's a chance that Philip Rivers is in his final playoff round right here. And so who knows how many more opportunities Ben Roethlisberger will get at the postseason. Who knows if this will be the last time that he advances to the postseason. And I think he's wise enough to recognize that these opportunities are few and far between. They're limited. And this could be it for him right here.
Feels like a changing of the guard there in Pittsburgh. No question. Okay, that's where it begins. Our next stop is Washington. After a Week 17 win for the Washington football team that clinched Chase Young and the team a playoff matchup with Tampa Bay, Young was seen and heard running off the field saying this. All right, so he said that. That, of course, got a lot of attention this week. And so yesterday, Brady was asked directly about it. Here's what he said.
He's obviously a great young player, so... we got our hands full with that D-line, one of the best D-lines in the league. So Chase is a great young player. He went to Ohio State, so naturally I think the Ohio State-Michigan thing wears off on him a little bit. I understand that. We're prepared for, a tough challenge. Should be a fun game.
And Tom Brady, you think I'm not going to be excited to play against the GOAT? Then you tripping. And that is what it is. I'm excited to play against Big Tom. I'm not going to apologize for saying I want Tom, no.
All right, so let me come to my offensive lineman in this group, Damian Woody, because, Tom Brady will stand up there publicly and kind of downplay it. But how will the O-line take hearing Chase Young say, oh, yeah, I'm coming after Brady?
Oh, man, Greeny, we take a lot of pride in that, man. The young buck out here talking a lot of trash, to the GOAT and Tom Brady. So, those boys along the front, they got their hands full this time, because we know the Washington football team got four first-round picks along that defensive line, but those guys are a powerful unit. They're going to get after those guys.
Dominique, so what do you think? I've been looking at this. I've been looking at the way that the Washington football team can get after the quarterback. Young is not the only first-round pick, far from it, on that defensive line. I look at the way San Francisco built their team in a similar way and made a run all the way to the Super Bowl. Could Brady and the Bucs be in some trouble in this game?
Nope. Absolutely not. Nope. It's not because the defense isn't good. Montez Sweat is great. Payne is great. And Chase Young, obviously great. The defense is playing exceptionally well right now, particularly towards the end of games. However, the problem is on the other side of the ball. I can't imagine a scenario where Washington is able to score enough points. I don't really see them putting up 20, 28, 35 points, which I think you're going to need to be able to knock Tom Brady off. So, especially since Alex Smith has been turning the ball over as of late, and they're probably going to end up turning to Taylor Heinicke at some point in this game. And no disrespect to Taylor Heinicke, but he's not going to be able to outscore Tom Brady along with all those weapons he has on offense. So, nah.
It doesn't seem that. I get the Taylor Heinicke part of it, but when you got a defense led by guys named Payne and Sweat, it feels to me like you at least have some semblance of a chance.
Chef, and Chase.
What are you thinking here? It's been such an interesting year for the Buccaneers, and maybe that should have been expected. But after their bye, the last four games, they didn't play a winning team, but they've looked much better. What sense are you getting of the confidence level coming out of Tampa?
Well, first of all, how about this, Greeny? This is the first time that Tom Brady ever is going to the playoffs as a wild card. Mm-hmm. He's never been a wild card. So we could call Tom Brady a wild card right now for this postseason, which he's never been before, which is amazing to me to think about as long as he's played, that he's never gone in that regard. The other sense is I think that just his presence has infused this team with confidence all year long. And I think when they get to the postseason, there's probably even more confidence knowing that they've got a guy at the helm who's won 6 Super Bowl titles. Now, Mike Evans was not at practice on Tuesday or Wednesday, which is not a good sign for his availability on Saturday night. But this is exactly why they went out and signed a guy like Antonio Brown. So now you line up Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller and Rob Gronkowski, and you're still loaded even though you could be without one of your top offensive players. And so I just think that they turn to Brady and they say, show us the way. I know you've never been to the wild card round, but we've never been to the playoffs, period. Mm-hmm. So take us to the promised land.
Yeah, and we'll get through some of those injuries in just a moment. So, Nick, let me spin it the other direction then. You're very unenthusiastic about Washington's chances. Let's switch it to the other side. How about the Buccaneers as the team with the best chance to go into Lambeau Field and knock Aaron Rodgers out of these playoffs? Do you think Tom Brady has a potentially another Super Bowl run in him?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bet on the Bucs versus the field, but I do think they have a chance. I think they are probably most likely team to be able to go in to Lambeau and win up there because he can score with Aaron Rodgers potentially. And we saw what happened, though it was in Tampa. We saw what happened when those teams played earlier. The Buccaneers blew out the Packers. And I don't think that that's kind of descriptive of how different they are as teams, but it shows that they have the talent to compete with them. And I know the weather's going to be a little bit different. It's probably going to be a lot colder up in Lambeau at this time of year, but I don't think that's enough to slow down Tom Brady and that defense that is playing pretty well at this point.
Depending on how this weekend's games go, that could happen next week. We could be looking next weekend at that matchup between Brady and Rodgers and Lambeau, but there's a long way to go before we get to that. Meanwhile, Shefty, let's run the hurry up here through some injury situations starting in L.A. What is the latest with Jared Goff?
He was at practice yesterday, Green. He was throwing the football, which is a good sign. Now, the Rams head coach Sean McVay is not ready to say that he's going to start over the financial analyst John Wolford, but again, it's a good sign that Goff was out there throwing the football about 10 days after he underwent thumb surgery with an injury that would sideline players usually a lot longer time than that. They may take this up Saturday before making a decision. Cooper Kupp, the wide receiver for the Rams, was activated off the reserve COVID list. He is expected to be out there on Saturday against the Seahawks in a game the Rams will have him, really, to keep up with Seattle and to try to win in Seattle against a tough Seahawks team. But Cooper Kupp is expected to play, as is Michael Brockers, who also was on the reserve COVID list. As for Mike Evans, who we mentioned earlier in the show, not spotted at practice Tuesday, not spotted at practice Wednesday. That's not a good sign with that left knee injury in terms of his availability for Saturday night. Again, that short week probably doesn't help the situation any with Tampa playing on a Saturday night after he went down on this play Sunday with the injury. We'll see if somehow Mike Evans can find his way back. I think that they feel fortunate, frankly, that his season didn't end. He's day-to-day, but it doesn't look promising for him this weekend.
All right, fair enough. So those are the teams that are still playing. Now let's get to the ones that are not in this dance and are looking for a new coach. How would you give us the latest on the coaching carousel that is swirling? 6 openings out there. What are the most important things fans should know?
Well, I think right now you're looking at Eric Bieniemy. He has actually interviewed with every team with a head coach opening other than the Houston Texans. They are the only team with an opening at that spot that have not interviewed Eric Bieniemy. And I can tell you this, that people around the league have noticed. They thought it odd that there could be so much interest in Eric Bieniemy, but there wouldn't be interest from the Houston Texans. And so it's a situation where that will continue to arouse curiosity, and we'll see how that goes. And by the way, Greeny, back to the Mike Evans point.
Yeah.
I got a text in between. Don't give up hope on him for Saturday night.
Ooh, that is, see, this is why we allow Shefty to be on the phone while the show is on the air. I have a hard, fast rule for all these years. Only 2 people, Woj and Shefty, are allowed to be on the phone while we're on because they always give us up to the second information just like that. Quickly,
Am I allowed to answer the phone if my wife's calling, you know, to go out and go get milk and eggs or something like that too, Greeny?
Who am I to say no? I mean, who am I to say no to that? That's just obviously not within the list. Very quickly, people have a close eye on the college stuff. The smoke, there's fire on the Urban Meyer thing. Is that continued to be something out there we're keeping a close eye on?
Absolutely. I think that should be monitored. I think that Jacksonville is waiting to see whether Urban Meyer is willing to move forward and move ahead with an NFL opportunity. I think that other teams have also reached out to Urban Meyer, and we'll see what he ultimately decides to do. I can tell you that I believe he's absolutely pondering about whether to make the move to the NFL level at this time, and we'll see whether those meetings occur. Wouldn't surprise me if they do.
All right, Shefty will continue on his phone for the next hour and 40 minutes. I guarantee you more breaking news as we continue. Meanwhile, also on the menu as we continue Get Up today, Doug Peterson's decision to pull Jalen Hurts for Nate Sudfeld certainly raised a lot of eyebrows. Now it's D. Wood's turn to put the Eagles on blast. You'll hear from him as we go. And Lamar Jackson's playoff performances to date haven't been anything to write home about. Question is, does that change the narrative this week? We've got the answers on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up with a little throwback Thursday. It was 28 years ago this week. Frank Reich engineered the greatest comeback in football history, coming off the bench to lead the Bills to a wild comeback win in the wild card round against the Houston Oilers, a game in which they were just getting obliterated, and they came all the way back to win with him in relief of Jim Kelly. Now he goes back to the scene of the crime, if you will, in Buffalo as the coach of the Colts. As we continue, Lamar Jackson admits he's looking to turn around the narrative that he can't get it done in the playoffs. You'll see why this week could change everything for him. Also on the way, the debut of McShay's first McMock. It's coming up at 9 Eastern. You know where Trevor Lawrence will go, but wait till you see where he has Justin Fields going in this draft. And we have Sneaky Hembo, and this one is for Neek. Who is the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to lose a playoff opener in each of his first 3 seasons? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tonight on ESPN, college football's top players and coaches are honored at the 30th annual Home Depot College Football Awards Show. That's tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is Knock on Wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greeny, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile, chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. The lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood. Is wood fire turkey. Damian Woody is going to call someone turkey.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
All right, so this week's wood-based pun is who would have thought, in which we just try and find other ways to use the word wood creatively and allow Damian Woody to yell at someone. So, D. Wood, who would have thought for today, who are we angry at this morning?
Well, Greeny, first let me say I gotta be a little careful because I threw up my back, so I can't get too animated. But who would have thought the Eagles would have just thrown away the game against the Washington football team
by benching Jalen Hurts. And I know everyone wants to talk about, oh, Jalen Hurts was only, what, 7 for 20, he had a touchdown or whatever. But anyone who watched the game, not people who look at stats, but anyone who watched the game could clearly see that the Eagles had an opportunity with Jalen Hurts at quarterback to win that football game. We always talk about in the National Football League, the people in that's affiliated with the National Football League, talk about the integrity of the game, the shield, and everything that comes with playing in the NFL. And in that moment, Doug Peterson decided to take out his young second-round pick, who's been scratching and clawing and fighting to try to win that football game, throwing a guy, Nate Sudfeld, who hadn't sniffed a play the whole season. I mean, are you kidding me? You're going to go out there and take out a guy who's trying to give you everything he has with limited personnel because of all the injuries that's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're going to throw in a guy in the fourth quarter and Nate Sudfeld, who hadn't played at all this year. Doug Peterson, what are you doing? Okay, we heard players in the locker room after the game talking, questioning that decision. And that's the one easy way that you can lose a locker room in this league, okay, by pulling shenanigans and pulling stunts like that in the game. So for me, I got to shake my head at Doug Peterson, that Philadelphia Eagles organization, because that was a bunch of BS what they pulled in that game against the Washington football team. You had an opportunity to knock out that team so they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
A lot of people agree with you on that, D. Wood, particularly me. And Shefty, if I could come to you there, unless you have something more important, because if you do, by all means, tell us. But otherwise, the reverberations of that thing with Peterson and stuff, it hung around a little bit, right? We heard the conversations on the radio and some of the players continued to talk. Does that settle down now to the best of your understanding, or are there still fences that need to be mended in Philadelphia?
I think there'll be players that'll be disappointed and will remember that for a long time. But again, it's not like they have a game this week. They have months to let this heal, months to let this recover. I don't think the New York Giants will forget it, and I would not be surprised if in week one next year, the Giants and Eagles are somehow pitted against each other, and that provides fuel for the Giants all offseason long. That would not be a surprise to me. We'll see how that shakes out, but that's something that I think the Eagles players will remember. They'll get past it. They'll get over it. They'll get over it, I think, sooner than perhaps the New York Giants will. It's something that will follow them throughout the course of the offseason, and it's something that Doug Peterson will have to answer to his players in the weeks to come.
Well, maybe the most important thing about this, Shefty, is that here we are talking about all these quarterback decisions the Eagles made, and none of them involve the name Carson Wentz. What as we begin this offseason that will be, you know, fascinating to follow him, where in your mind do we stand with that right now?
Listen, the Eagles said that they're not thinking or talking about a trade at this time. And I think the key phrase there is at this time, because I think inevitably the opinion of people around the league right now is that the Eagles are going to have to look and explore a trade of Carson Wentz. Now, we'll see whether something gets done there, but I can tell you there are people around the league who believe ultimately it will, and that ultimately this offseason, Carson Wentz would be traded. Now, again, we can begin to speculate on teams. Indianapolis would make a lot of sense with Frank Reich as its head coach and his experience with Carson Wentz, but the Colts are not even thinking or talking about that right now. They're getting ready for the Buffalo Bills. Right. That's their entire focus. And so the people in Philadelphia are waiting to see how it plays out. But I can tell you that across the league, I think there are a lot of people who do believe that ultimately this offseason will result in the trade of Carson Wentz, and we'll see whether they're right.
All right, yeah, Neek, the other day, actually, you were the one who said on this program that you thought that Wentz winding up with Reich in Indianapolis would make a lot of sense. Meanwhile, for you, Dominique, here we go to sneaky Hembo time. He has got you in his crosshairs, and the question is this. Who is the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to lose a playoff opener in each of his first three seasons, as Lamar Jackson could do this weekend?
So that's a tough one, because it has to be a team that was really good enough to make it to the playoffs, but a quarterback that couldn't quite get him over that playoff hump. I got a little help on this. I didn't request it. It was an unsolicited text from one Bomani Jones with Andy Dalton.
Oh, my goodness. That is correct. Andy Dalton is right.
Appreciate you, Bo. Hembo
was going to be very aggravated that you got any assistance here. Let the record show everyone on the stage crew who guessed in this room got it wrong. So if it makes Hembo feel any better, everyone in the room got it wrong. Neek got it right. All right, let's talk about Lamar Jackson, by the way. Happy birthday, Lamar Jackson. He's 24 years old today. Now, we know that he has struggled in his two playoff games in his career, his QBR the lowest by any, with multiple playoff starts in the 15-year history of that metric. He struggled particularly in the first three quarters of these playoff games, completing less than half his passes. Overall, only three MVP quarterbacks have gone one and done in the playoffs in three straight years at any times in their career. Joe Montana, Burt Jones, and Y.A. Tittle. Here's Lamar.
It's win to go home right now, you know. I want to win regardless. I don't really care about what people got to say, you know. I've only been in the playoffs twice, you know, my young career. You know, other people been in the league forever. I haven't been in the playoffs at all, but it is what it is, you know. But definitely trying to erase that narrative right there. That's the number one right now in my mind.
So he's thinking about it, and I get it. I understand why he would be. My unsolicited advice on the radio yesterday was for him to block all of that out and remember that he turns 24 years old today. Peyton Manning won his first playoff game when he was 27, and that all turned out okay. But that said, Damian Woody, how much pressure is on Lamar Jackson Sunday?
Well, I mean, listen, clearly he's thinking about it, but I'm bullish on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. It seems like the Baltimore Ravens have found their groove again. Greg Roman and company, with all the injuries that they've sustained on the offensive side of the football, they finally figured this thing out. And then over the last five games, they've rushed the ball for more yards than any team in NFL history. So you're talking about going into the tournament with momentum. They found it, because there's not a weapon in the National Football League more deadly than Lamar Jackson. I can tell you right now, the Tennessee Titans should be petrified of this rushing attack that the Baltimore Ravens are going to be bringing to the table.
Yeah, what do you think, Neek? You're a former Raven. You sort of live in the general area, so you hear some of the more local noise. What do you think of the pressure on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure is incredibly high, not just because of his two playoff losses, but because he is the centerpiece of that offense. I think no team asks more of any one player than the Ravens ask of Lamar Jackson to carry that offense. I think that he will play well, and he'll kind of put to rest the narrative that he's talking about, in part because he's great and that team is really good, but also because the Titans are really bad. And I know Himbo doesn't like people texting me answers to the question, but he texts me answers to the questions all the time, just like he just texted me that the Titans' defense is the second worst by efficiency in the last 15 years. So that's a pretty easy target for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to go up against. I'm looking forward to Lamar playing this game on ESPN, and then in the post game, just like in that Monday night game, Lisa Salter is going to interview him. He's going to say some answers and then hit us with a thank you, Miss Lisa, which is my favorite play Lamar Jackson has had all season.
To remind you, again, he is 24 years old today. Go ahead, Shefty.
Well, you know, you raised an interesting point about the fact that Peyton Manning didn't win his first playoff game until he was 27. And that got me thinking that John Elway didn't win his first playoff game until his fourth or fifth season in his league. But I think when John Elway played, and even when Peyton Manning was starting out, it was a little bit different in terms of the noise that was made. If Lamar Jackson loses this game and goes to 0-3, can you imagine what the offseason chatter and questions will be about his postseason performance? They will be multifaceted. It will go on and on. The conversation about him failing to come through in the postseason will take on a life of its own, whether it's fair or not. That's the world we live in. And so there is a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson to win this game from that standpoint. And how about from the other standpoint, too? Last offseason, after the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes, 3 years into his career, got a new contract extension. Deshaun Watson, 3 years into his career, before the season began, got a new contract extension. Lamar Jackson is eligible for a new contract for the first time in his NFL career after this season. Do you think it's better to go to the bargaining table at 0-3 in the postseason, or better to go to the bargaining table as Joe Flacco showed in Baltimore with an extended postseason run? So there is a lot at stake for Lamar Jackson. He can quiet all the offseason noise and make himself an awful lot of money with a win this weekend. Yep. And the further he goes in the playoffs, the better it's going to be for him.
Okay, that part of it I cannot argue with. The financial part of it obviously does make a lot of sense. But I will just continue to remind everyone, he turned 24 years old today. To expect everything in the world from him right now might not be realistic. Meanwhile, let's go to the performance of the night from last night. It came from the NBA. It came from Bradley Beal. Wizards and Sixers pick it up in the second half. Beal had 32 in the first half, and he just kept it going. Look at him here on the pull-up three. He was 7 of 10 from three-point range. Here he is with 5 minutes left in the third. His team down 18 points. Beal at that 44 at that point, giving it his all, and he was by no means done. Later in the third, Beal with 53 points. We got a turnover. We got Beal laying it up and good. He was 20 of 35 from the floor. Finished the third quarter with 57 points. Now in the fourth, it's a two-point game. Beal stepping back over Embiid. He's got 59 at that point. By the way, Embiid had himself a very good night as well. This is Ben Simmons throwing it up. This is Embiid putting it in. Embiid had 38. Simmons had 17 and 12. Bradley Beal scored 60 points, tying a franchise record. But it wasn't enough as the Sixers get the win, 141 to 136. And afterwards, Bradley Beal frustrated.
You know, I'm pissed off. I'm mad. This is just, you know, I don't count any of my, you know, career highs. They've been in losses. So, you know, I don't give a damn. You throw it right out the window with the other two or three I had. I just want to win. You know, sometimes it forces me to score 50, 60, whatever the case may be. But I just want to win, whatever that looks like. So, came up a little short tonight. We just got to keep at it. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us.
Well, we all know Bradley Beal is one of the elite scorers in the NBA, but for whatever reason, his team has trouble winning when he puts up big numbers. In his career, Washington is 1-6 when Beal scores 45 or more, including the game last night. Coming up, they are the elite of the elite, but you've got to hear the reason why one of the guys here says he would take Rodgers over Mahomes. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up. And Dominique, let's do some either-ors as we look ahead to this weekend. Let's start with which MVP quarterback you'd rather have this weekend, Rodgers or Mahomes?
All right, well, I mean, I think that you can't go wrong with either of these guys. Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are outstanding. I'd be happy with either, but I think right now Aaron Rodgers is playing the best football of anybody at any position in the league, and I think that you have to be confident in him. Even though they both have a week off this week, I think that I would love to have Aaron Rodgers with the fire that he has under him right now lead my team.
Again, neither of them play this weekend as they earn those byes. How about the quarterbacks this weekend? Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, who you got?
Yeah, I got to go with Russell Wilson. I would say that if I had to do MVP voting between these two, that Josh Allen has obviously had a better season. But I think there's something to be said for this playoff experience that Russell Wilson has had, the way that he has played in those situations. And when it comes down to it, what you're really asking is who you want to have the ball on the last drive of a game with the game on the line. And I feel more confident in Russ in that situation.
Yeah, they're both playing good defenses. How about these up and down quarterbacks, Trubisky or Goff? Which one do you have more confidence in?
Man, this was a hard one, but I had to go with Mitchell Trubisky because of his running ability and the fact that both of his thumbs are healthy. Like, that is a big, important thing.
If you're going to be handling the ball quite a bit, I'd like you to have operational thumbs and potentially some running ability to be able to attack the defense when you're not sure where to go with the ball. So I don't feel great about it, but I'm leaning Trubisky in that situation.
It's a very interesting weekend for Mitch Trubisky, who, you know, obviously had some very interesting comments as the Bears prepare to take on the Saints in the wild card weekend game this weekend. Give a listen.
We got nothing to lose. We know everybody's overlooking us. They have the back half of the season. So I think we've been just playing with that edge, that chip on our shoulder. And I think go in, play free, and like we got nothing to lose.
So my inclination, Dominique, and I can see the look on your face, is anytime I hear someone say, we've got nothing to lose, so let's just play like we're as free as can be, is that they actually feel the opposite way, because I'm not exactly sure why anyone who desperately wants to win, as he clearly does, would ever feel that way. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. And you, as a high-stakes young tennis star, understand how difficult it is when you're going up against the best guy in the city, and maybe you knock him off, so you know about that pressure. But okay. I would say to Mitchell...
I'm going to stop Mike. You right there. I know why you're saying that. I will tell the story, because everyone here wants me to tell the story. The only sport I ever played in my life competitively was tennis. When I was a kid, I was playing a kid named Dana DeMeo, who everyone said was going to wipe the court with me. And someone said, don't be nervous, Greeny. Everyone expects him to beat you. And I said, I thought to myself, that doesn't make any sense. I want to win. The only pressure involved here is that I want to win. And I beat him 4-2. So Mitch Trubisky, there's hope. Go ahead, Neek.
I love that you think that your high school, your youth tennis is just like Mitch Trubisky. But I do think that for Mitch, maybe there's not a lot of pressure on the Bears, but there's a ton of pressure on Mitchell Trubisky. He has gotten a second life, an opportunity to play for an extended contract, to play for the franchise tag, to legitimize himself as a starter in the NFL. If he plays well in this game, people will think differently about him. There's a ton of pressure. If he plays poorly in this game, people are going to say, well, they played some bad defenses late in the season. This is the same old Mitchell Trubisky. I know that he doesn't watch TV and he doesn't want to be bogged down by the nonsense that we're saying, but you don't have to watch TV to understand the situation that you're in. Mitchell Trubisky knows that if he plays well today, maybe he becomes the Bears' long-term answer at quarterback. Or not today, this weekend. Or yeah. Some other team looks at him and sees some potential. If he plays poorly, he's a career backup from then on out.
Well, look, I mean, he's playing against one of the best defenses in the NFL in New Orleans in a game his team has not given any chance to win by practically anyone. Do you, in your mind, could he unwrite basically everything that has been written in his career? I mean, this is not like a guy right. Who's finishing up his first season. He's finishing his third year in the NFL. Does this one performance, would it be enough to sway you? If he plays great and they win this game, would it sway you on bringing him back?
No, I still would put my money on David DeMeo, because David DeMeo is the truth. He is a much better tennis player and a much better football team. In this case, it's the Saints. I don't think that Mitchell Trubisky is going to play well. And even if he does have this one good game, I don't think that's enough for me to change my mind about the quarterback that I think he can become.
And then maybe the most important question of all we have overlooked, which is, do you see it happening? I don't think the world gives Trubisky and the Bears a whole lot of chance. Do you?
I don't see it happening, in part because their best attribute is Khalil Mack in that pass rush, and the Saints are going to neutralize that, because the thing they do the best is quick passing and running the football, and they have a great offensive line, a great running back, and the most accurate quarterback that I've ever seen, who makes quick decisions and gets rid of the ball. So it's a really bad matchup for them, not just because the Saints are a overall better coach team and more talented team, but in the ways that the Saints are good, those are the ways that you are built to neutralize the Bears. If you think back, the Bears' best game of the year was when they went up against Tom Brady and that Bruce Arians offense. That's kind of, you hold the ball, you drop back, and you give Khalil Mack and that D-line some time to get after it.
Yep, I'll make my picks tomorrow, but I'll tell you right now, to me, of all the things that could happen this weekend, the biggest surprise would be if the Bears were to beat the Saints in New Orleans. All right, looking ahead to what should be a really terrific weekend. It's super wild card weekend, and you see all the games there. It starts on Saturday with the Colts at the Bills. That's on CBS. Then we get the Rams and Seahawks on Fox, and then primetime that night, it's Brady against Chase Young on NBC. Then our game, ESPN and ABC, Ravens and Tennessee, will start off your day on Sunday, followed by the Bears in New Orleans, and the nightcap is the Browns and the Steelers. A fabulous weekend of football that we can all look forward to. Meanwhile, Meanwhile, let's run the floor through some notes from the NBA last night. In a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals, Heat and Celtics took it to the wire. Goran Dragic tying the game at 105 with 15 seconds to go. But rookie Peyton Pritchard with a putback with 0.2 seconds left got the Celtics to win 107-105, and there was much rejoicing elsewhere. Tough moment for the top overall draft pick, Markelle Fultz, suffering a season-ending ACL tear in his left knee in the first quarter of the Magic's win over Cleveland. He had really been starting to play well, signed a three-year, $50 million extension last month. And Gordon Hayward scored a career-high 44 as the Hornets beat the Hawks 102-94 last night. Trae Young had just 7 in the loss. As we continue, looking forward to the debut of Todd McShay's first mock draft of the year. It is moments away. It is here. We know where Trevor is going. Wait until you see where he has Justin Fields going.
4 days to the college football playoff national championship game on ESPN.